add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Different. The kids say, ham to ham, it just hits different on the fan, you heard? Let's get right back into it, man. Paulie dropping the beats and taking your calls at 888-808-1019. I'm not going to fill the air with my words. I want to talk to you. You guys know what we're talking about. Let's go to Bob in Chatham, New Jersey. Bob, you are on the fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Okay, so the first thing I thought of when I saw the way Rodon was pitching today was, I wonder if Gerrit Cole has been talking to him and coaching him up.
Of course he has.
Because of course he has, is right. And all of a sudden, you know, Cole comes back and Luis Gil starts pitching better. He needs to sit with Nestor Cortes, I think.
Well, you know what happened with Nestor, right, Bob? Nestor, during the break, put out a tweet talking about we're the Yankees, everybody wants to be us. He set himself up for failure. But if you remember Rodon's last start.
Pitch well. That was more to do with it than the tweet. But
Rodon, I saw Rodon kind of.
Yeah, his last start.
He was kind of giving it back to Cole. Cole was looking at an iPad telling him something. And I'm like, listen, bro, I get it that you wear your heart on your sleeve. You have emotions. But if the reigning AL Cy Young winner, the highest paid pitcher on the team, is telling you something, just listen. Just listen.
Yeah, I feel like they're getting value added with Cole because he's like the assistant pitching coach. He's actually maybe better than the head pitching coach.
Luis Gil called him a professor. He said, I have a great professor in Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. Well, he is a professor of pitching. He's a PhD in pitching. That guy is he's something else.
Yeah.
But, as far as the trade deadline, I have no idea what they're going to do.
I would like another starter.
No idea.
Bob,
we all want all these things, but you know, Susan Waldman was talking about it on the broadcast on the radio today. All the teams want this. There's so many teams that are still in it.
Right.
Everybody wants pitching. Everybody wants
a bat. With the added wild card teams that are five, six games out, think that they should be
everybody's
buyers because they think that they can make a push to get in.
Yep. It really complicates it. I just
Bob, we need another starter. We need another starter. Who's
even put that mojo on the Yankees? But yeah, I mean, listen, I hope they do something. As far as
pitching, starting, bullpen, did we lose him? I think we lost him. Damn, Bob. I was going to say, Bob, who's taking a ball after Gerrit Cole? If Gerrit Cole is your game one starter, Yankees go down 0-1 in the series, who are you handing the ball to even up the series? 888-808-1019. I need a starter. I need another starter. And it's not Clark Schmidt coming back. I saw Fireside Yankees put out a tweet about, you know, who the Yankees are getting back. So we've talked about John Birdie. If you watched the game today, happy birthday to Meredith as well. John Birdie is coming back. And hey, how come, listen, I sat in for Susan two games, and then Meredith sat in for a game. How come you guys are never mentioning Meredith to join the booth or Meredith to come back and be on the call, huh? All this talk about Craig Carton. I'm just playing. So, Fireside Yankees put out a tweet, and it said, Clark Schmidt, Cody Poteet, Ian Hamilton, and Scott Efros are coming back. And, of course, Yankee fans hear that, and they're like, oh, yeah, just as good as a trade. It kind of makes me think that they will not be adding as many arms in the bullpen, especially with the emergence of Jake Cousins, guys like Tim Hill, Michael Tonkin, journeyman that have stepped into the circle of trust. Weavy Wonder, Luke Weaver being solid. Go get me somebody that I think can replace Clay Holmes and put Clay Holmes in the bullpen. Because the same way I talk about the adventure with Gleyber Torres, I'm done taking the adventure with Clay Holmes. I'm sorry, I'm done. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Do you have shortness of breath and trouble breathing when Clay Holmes gets on the mound? I don't want to do that in October. I don't. I can't. I might not survive it, bro. I might not survive it. Please help me. Please. It is a medical issue. New York Yankees, please. I need another starter. I need somebody coming out of the bullpen throwing gas, swing and miss stuff. Just one. Because I get it. You're going to get all these arms back. The bullpen will look different. And I know it's hard, right? The Yankees are the Yankees. There's 29 teams in the New York Yankees. Nobody else is trying to help the Yankees, especially with Brian Cashman on the line. Hey, Cashman's on the line. These guys are like, tell him out to lunch. He's been doing this so long. And you know Cash likes to work on deadline day. So he might be talking to some people, and he's definitely talking to some people now, but they're not getting it done until 2 p.m. You know what I'm saying? And there's some stuff that doesn't get done because buzzer beater up or, pencils down, there's no more time. They're talking about bringing back Jameson Taillon? No more second tours. I guess Tommy Canley's second tour has been fine this second year. But I hated Tommy Canley last year. I didn't want to see Greg Allen back. Billy McKinney wore off fast. No more second tours. No more second tours. We're not doing that, please. But, like, if they're looking at Jameson Taillon, that tells me they know they need another starter. But would you give Jameson Taillon the ball game two? I mean, it actually wasn't bad last time out in Houston. But, yeah, so look at it. We're already at two things, a starter, a closer. You definitely need... Before those two guys, you definitely need an infielder. And I'm trying to get these three things out of an infielder. An infielder that can play second and third. Just one. That also can hit for average and has the speed to be the leadoff hitter and steal bases. Jonathan India, Jazz Chisholm, sure, they fit the bill for that. But not really Jazz. Jazz is playing center field, and I know they've been playing him at second base. But, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really think he's that much of a second base glove and infielder. Maybe, I don't know, better than what we have, right? And just right there, those are, in my opinion, your top three needs. Some of you are going to say they need first base. Some of you feel like they need a catcher. Jose Trevino's hurt, and before he was hurt, right, the Red Sox ran wild on him, and people are like, oh, now we need a catcher too. Some of you think we need an outfielder because Verdugo's been so bad. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to ride with what we have. You can't fix everything. My top three ticket items are a second base / third base guy. Because, okay, yeah, you get John Birdie back in the fold, and you could probably get rid of Gleyber, honestly. You could send Gleyber anywhere for whatever you can get on him. Penny on the dollar, whatever. DJ LeMahieu is not going anywhere, folks. I hate to break it to you. He's got $30 million left. He's got $15 million next year, $15 million the year after. He signed a six-year, $90 million contract, which at the time we felt like we had to do it. And it's cliche to say Father Time is undefeated, but damn, Father Time, undefeated, is no contest with DJ. I'm glad that he hit a homer today. It's still there. But what it is we're looking at what DJ was, and he's so far from that now. It's like, that's not who we paid for. That's not what we signed up for. This version of DJ LeMahieu, I don't think anybody would want. They're going to have to just straight cut bait with him if he doesn't consistently get it going. Like I said, he almost erased the home run to me today because the home run was cool, ran into one. But then the next at bat, he struck out with three pitches, and he's chasing a ball off the plate. I think Kaser even said he struck himself out chasing that pitch. 888-808-1019. Louie's in Jersey. Louie, you're on the Fan.
I just wanted to apologize for before. I think that the Yanks need solid players all up and down the lineup. Like when Torrey was a manager and they won the World Series, because look at their averages now. They're not so good, except for maybe Soto, you know, and then.
I agree with you, but you know what they'll tell you? It's not the 90s anymore, and nobody cares about batting average, and batting average goes away, but you still need hitters. You need the batting average doesn't have to be 300, but you need guys hitting over the league average in batting average. These guys are hitting beneath.
Yeah, there you go. They need solid hitters, you know. What's a 192 average, 197? That's not going to cut the mustard, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, you don't want to have to rely on Trent Grisham. But with Stanton out, you have to.
How about, you know, the guy, like when they got Paul O'Neill from the Reds? How about Ellie De La Cruz from the Reds. He could be the next Warrior or something.
Oh, I would love that. Thanks for the call, Louis. O'Neal Cruz is named after Paul O'Neal. O'Neal Cruz is a shortstop that I saw a year or two before I saw Ellie De La Cruz. Both guys are like over 6'4", long locks. I mean, these guys should be in a buddy movie together. They look like almost the same player at times. O'Neal Cruz hasn't, you know, he was hurt last year, and he hasn't really, you know, gotten back to what we thought he could be. But Ellie De La Cruz plays shortstop. Anthony Volpe is the Yankees' chosen shortstop. They're not getting Ellie De La Cruz. The Reds would not trade him. The Reds are going to hope to actually sign him, keep him there. He is a phenom. You saw him, no? I know I saw him. I went to that first game when the Reds swept the Yankees. It was funny, man. I looked at my time hop 10 years ago, just a few days ago. The Reds came to Yankee Stadium and the Yankees swept them. I was there when Ellie De La Cruz hit that triple, and he's gliding around the base paths. I'm like, damn, this guy's different. I was there when he smoked that home run into the visitor's bullpen, right where my boys sit at the Terrace Squad. Terrace Squad, what up? We on the fan again. The Fresh Direct Terrace, right over the visitor's bullpen. Ellie De La Cruz smoked the ball to the visitor's bullpen. My boy Sean had $20 on Ellie De La Cruz to homer. That's another thing. I can't bet against the Yankees. Even through this bad stretch, I can't put a parlay together. I don't want that blood money. I don't. I'd rather have $0 than to hit on bets against the Yankees. I won't do it. I can't do it. Ellie De La Cruz is not coming over here. That's a stretch. Hey, Keith, you think we can trade Juan Soto for Mason Miller? Tim is in Norwalk, Connecticut. What's up, Tim? You're back on the fan.
I'm back. Oh, man. I was almost thinking about, you know what? I'm sorry. I know we're talking about DJ LeMahieu, but thank God the big King Kong, gorilla, anything you want to call Godzilla off of his back. He got it out of his way. You know, and that was an important game today. It's almost like I was actually wondering. So they did this schedule because of, based on the All-Star break.
What, without this Monday off day, going right into this?
Just like a random Monday 1 o'clock game. It wasn't opening day or anything like that. They did that because of the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think just the way it's set up, it didn't set up good for the Mets at all, as they have to fly back tonight and then play on the main stage tomorrow against the Yankees with the whole world watching.
All right, well, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be in section 212, row 7, on the aisle seats. Are you going to the game tomorrow?
I'm going to be there tomorrow and Wednesday.
Okay, all right. So,
I don't know where I'm sitting.
This is a big series. But it's awesome right now because you got two New York teams, just like, you know, the Knicks and the Rangers, like back in the spring and whatever. We don't have to talk about the disappointment, but you got two teams right now that are actually, like, it's the first time since, like, what, 2000, I don't know, Yankees. I mean, like, seriously, when you're thinking about the Mets, they were popular in 2015 when they went to World Series. Long story short, I don't hear any trumpets anymore. I saw them at pawn shops, you know. So, he's nothing for the Mets right now. But when it comes to the Yankees, yes, nobody wants to see Clay Holmes. And Tommy Canley, when he first came to the Yankees when he got traded, he was awesome. And now he's, like, a little shaky right now. Luke Weaver should be the closer for the New York Yankees right now, in my opinion. But I'm happy for DJ LeMahieu. I love the fact that you said Uncle Ben's Rice, because I talked to Peter Schwartz and I called him Uncle Ben's Rice a couple weeks ago. And, Sasha got the tickets. You know, shout out to Sasha. Obviously, I always have to do that. You know what I'm talking about.
Come through to the Hard Rock tomorrow. I'm going to try and get to the Hard Rock to support.
What time do you usually get there?
What's going on?
Oh, my God. Are they jinxing us right now?
That's Paulie being disrespectful to our Yankees talk, especially as I'm about to cut a promo for Evan and Tiki live from the Hard Rock.
All right, so really important right now. So we were talking the other night, and I think it was either Pat or his Peter, and we were talking about it, or maybe it was Loogie. So Sasha got she likes the kid-sized jerseys, but it has Rizzo on the back. I said, we might never see Anthony Rizzo, but shout out to Anthony Rizzo. He's actually on there, like, he almost is, like, in the movie 61. He's, like, Mickey Mantle, like, struggling, but he's still on the bench.
Is Sasha Italian, if you don't mind me asking?
He's, her mother's off the boat from Finland, and her father's from Grand Concourse.
Okay, I'm trying to justify the Rizzo purchase. Like, Rizzo.
The Rizzo purchase is because it looks like she has a crush on him, obviously.
But that's your girl. Yeah. What you mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, I said you got a Fugazi jersey. You got a name on the back of your jersey.
You got the youth.
I'm rocking my
medium with Rizzo 4'8" on the back. Thanks for the call, too. Yeah, I don't know if I'll make it to section 212. I don't know where I'm sitting tomorrow. I know where I'm sitting Wednesday, but I'm also not going to just put my seat out there. I'm not hard to find. I'm not hard to find, specifically in Yankee Stadium. The thing I love most about Yankee Stadium is when I run into people like, yo, what are you doing here? Me? If there's one place that you got a high percentage chance of finding me is here. Like, yo, wait, I can't believe you're here. At the Yankee game? I'm definitely pulling up for the Subway Series in our building. 888-808-1019. Yeah, so Evan and Tiki live from the Hard Rock Cafe. And shout out to my guy Chris and everybody over at the Hard Rock. I was in there Sunday, and like historically, Hard Rock is that's like the Bleacher Creatures clear entrance. That's how the Bleacher Creatures enter the stadium for years. Way before I was on the fan, it's like, yo, we're not waiting in line. We're going through Hard Rock. You gotta know somebody to know somebody. Yeah, that's the spot. So Evan and Tiki live from the Hard Rock tomorrow and Wednesday.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There it goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Goes until midnight, and then Mac is back. C-Mac back on the Fan. BT and Sal back on today, so we got the regular roster rotation back. 4th of July holiday over, All-Star break over, and now we push through the second half, and then like once football starts, it's like everybody lock in. Let's go. Can't wait. Can't wait. Hard Knocks tomorrow. We'll get another episode of that. I was laughing. I was talking on the, I was talking to somebody. I think it was on the Giants Instagram. And I was completely joking. But, you know, for all the talk about J.J. McCarthy leading up to the draft, and even J.J. McCarthy being like, oh, I talked to the Giants the most. Going on Rich Eisen and like, okay, what team do you think is drafting you? The Giants. They didn't even feature him in Hard Knocks. Like, think about it. We saw them sit with Jaden Daniels. We saw them sit with Drake May. We saw them sit with Caleb Williams, who obviously they couldn't draft. We even saw them sit with Marvin Harrison Jr. They did not show us a clip, not even one inkling of them being interested in J.J. McCarthy. I'm sorry, I got a chuckle out of that. Like, we wasted time talking about this is how many nights. I know Big Mac did it too, like J.J. McCarthy. Like some people started talking themselves into, yeah, J.J. McCarthy at 6. No, no, it was never that. It was never that. And J.J. McCarthy gets no airtime in Hard Knocks. But as I'm talking about all these different podcasts tonight, after my show ends, cue up the Paul George podcast, P podcast, to hear Mikal Bridges talk about how Josh Hart used to stuff him in lockers and stuff like that. It never changed. Josh Hart bullied him in school and then kept bullying him on social media. And then Sean Marks was like, listen, bud, I mean, like, I got you, bro. Like, let me talk to Leon Rose. We'll get you up out of here so you don't get trolled anymore. Saquon Barkley joined Scoop City with Diana Russini and Chase Daniel, which I'm trying to get into their show. I was trying to, like, find it today. They put the clip out today, but the full episode doesn't come out tomorrow. And basically, Saquon Barkley is saying, that call you guys saw on Hard Knocks where Joe Shane says, yeah, we're going to let you hit the market. He said he knew right there, like, once I hit the market, I'm going to get an offer that they're not going to match, so it's over. I'm not coming back. I want to hear Saquon's version of it because, obviously, we're all going with it. Like, I remember coming on last week and being like, okay, at least Giants fans have closure now. You see how it all played out, and you got to know that, obviously, it's HBO. It's like a movie. It's produced. They're going to have it a certain way, sending a certain message out. But, yeah, looking forward to Hard Knocks. I'm getting deeper into receiver now. I think the last episode of receiver I saw, like, Deebo Samuel is hurt. I didn't realize, that's why I love these, like, behind-the-scenes docs, too. I didn't realize watching receiver that, you know, when Deebo Samuel got into that, like, pregame altercation, that was the first game that the Niners had lost and Brock Purdy lost. And in the pregame, Brandon Ayuk was doing some clapping into people's faces. And Deebo Samuel, he threw like a headbutt. I'm trying to find the player's name. I think it was Thornhill, number one from the Cleveland Browns. Like, he got into his face. Yeah, Juan Thornhill got into Debo's face. And if you're watching receiver, you see this. And then I didn't realize watching the season and watch. I remember Deebo going out that game. I had him on one of my fantasy teams. But the same guy that Deebo threw his helmet into his face, that's the guy that laid the hit to knock him out the game and miss a couple weeks. I love that. I love it for two reasons. I love it because football is a violent sport. And in between those lines, you can literally assault people. And it's fully legal. Pre-game, you're not supposed to hit guys. And that's, you know, you're not supposed to take any cheap shots. Deebo kind of threw him a, you know, took a little cheap shot at him. And he remembered it. And when he got a clean shot at Deebo, he lined him up and he hit him so hard, he knocked him out of the game with a shoulder, with a stinger, and he missed a couple weeks. Juan Thornhill, wherever you are, you won. UVA guy like Tiki, you won. I wasn't familiar with your game. I wasn't even familiar with that. That's why I said I love that too. I love that you can see the behind the scenes through receiver and then go back to last season and be like, yo, I remember when that happened. Right, Trent Williams steps in. Nobody wants to beef with the silverback gorilla. Trent Williams steps in and is like, hey. But Thornhill paid back Deebo so much that he knocked him out of the game and he made him miss time. And then Debo's on the table getting worked on like, yeah, I've been hit harder. So what, bro? The guy that you took a cheap shot at when the game wasn't in play and warm-ups came back and tatted your ass. I love football. I can't wait till football starts. I can't wait till we actually have real football to talk about. Like, not Aaron Rodgers on the podcast, which everybody's talking about now. I want to see Aaron Rodgers play. That's what I said. I'm changing my take on Aaron Rodgers. I'm rooting for the guy. I want the guy to play. I want to come in here and be like, yo, there was a play where they blitzed. Aaron Rodgers had nothing. He looked one way, signal, boom, Garrett Wilson down the side. Like, I want to see that type of stuff and come to the fan to talk about it. We're getting there, but it's baseball time. 888-808-1019. This is the capital of baseball in America. This is where the offices are. This is where the network is. This is where the team store is. And this is where the Mets and the Yankees play in front of more fans than any other crosstown rivalry. And the Subway Series is upon us again. I do not know where I'm sitting. I don't have a ticket for tomorrow, but I'm not worried about that. I'm extremely blessed. There were years where I avoided the Subway Series. I thought it was amateur hour. There were years where it was billed as a premium series with the ticket office. It still is. And the tickets were more expensive and not available. I know I can walk in there tomorrow as media and go support Evan and Tiki. I know somebody listening to this right now is going to reach out and say, hey, come sit with us. I don't know what the ticket prices are, but if you can get a ticket, go. Everybody goes. It's fun. I do have my WFAN seats for Wednesday, so I'm definitely sitting, you know, with WFAN folks where our area is behind home plate in the 120s. But, yeah, I wouldn't miss these two games. It's our turn now. We need these next two games. The Yankees need to win the next two. Let's go to Avery in Manhattan. back on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Good to see you yesterday. That was funny that you were right there.
I mean, why was it funny? I walk around the stadium just like everyone.
No, I know you do. I just peeked out my head and I was like, oh, it's Keith.
It was good to see you, man. Sorry I lied. I thought we were going to win.
Yeah, no.
I was like, we're definitely going to get the win now that you and Grandpa spotted me.
Yeah, I'm full, but yeah. So, listen, I mean, the deadline, what else is there to say? There's nothing else to say. I mean, you know the team's not deep enough. You know that they need to get people at the deadline. What else is there to say? You know? We're just going to keep saying the same thing over and over again.
A wish list. Like when you're a kid and you put together a Santa's wish list for your parents. Some of you guys' parents probably got everything. But for me, you know, my mom did the best she could to get the highest price, high ticket item, what really was going to wow you and everything else. If we don't get the whole list, we'll be happy if we got most of it.
I feel like we're not going to get any of it, but we'll see. Hopefully we get something nice in the middle.
Because you know what? It's not as easy as going to Toys R Us or ordering it online. It takes two to tango. The pieces that we need and want, teams have to be willing to trade with us, and I just know they're going to try and hold us hostage. And Brian Cashman, he's not going to get fleeced. He's not giving up Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. It's just not happening.
That's what I wanted to ask you, actually. In your opinion, not in what Brian Cashman would say, in your opinion, Jason Dominguez, how would you feel if he was put in a trade? Would you be willing to do that?
It depends. Like, what are we getting? Who are we talking about? Like, if we're getting Jazz Chisholm, Josh Bell, and Tanner Scott from the Marlins, all right.
Right.
All right, I guess. Only because Dominguez has proven to be injury prone already.
Right. This is what I was thinking.
Like, Dominguez so far has had these injuries where I'm like, oh, he's going to fit right in with the New York Yankees.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if it's a good enough deal, the fact of the matter is, no, he's not going to be putting them on the table. You know, he's not going to say, okay, well, I'll give you this if you give me the, even if he does, I don't know. I mean, I guess he could, Cashman. Even if he does, though, I feel like it's not even going to matter. You know, I feel like it's not even going to matter. He has to show us. He has to prove it to us again.
I want to be surprised like a kid on Christmas morning. I want to be waking up on deadline day, excited for what's to come, and be surprised by what's to come. And like I said, time and time again, this needs to be Cashman's best deadline in years. A magnum
Mr.
opus.
Mr. Lavender shirt, aviator glasses, screaming at the media in Nashville, Tennessee. He thought he proved himself with Juan Soto, but he needs to do it again.
What did I say? Those videos will not age well if this team doesn't come together and win. If he doesn't do his job at the trade deadline, those videos defending his past moves out there in Arizona at the GM meetings, Yankees Twitter is going to resurface those and bring them up and say, hey, you were on the defensive. You were cursing. You were using profanity. You were big mad. How come you didn't take that energy and channel it into this trade deadline to make this team better?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, Keith.
We got to wait and see. Shout out to Avery and his grandfather. Avery's been calling my show for a while. I know he also does some radio stuff at school. His mom was nice enough to send me an email to say, you know, ignore the haters. You're great. And I'm like, nah. People always tell me ignore the haters. Why? I'm always different, bro. I just like, people always like, yo, stop writing back to people online. For what? Why? Like, I have a phone. You might not get a reply from Boomer or Tiki, but you're going to get a reply from me. And I'm going to sauce you up. I'm going to say something back. Pew, pew, pew. I'm shooting back at you haters. I don't mind a hater. People, I think what it is people think that since I incorporate the haters in my show and my online presence and what I talk about, that like they're affecting me. If they were affecting me, I'd be, you know, depressed or, you know, not showing up to work or affected by it. I'm not. I love a hater because haters, mostly anonymous, are just advertisers for you. Because as soon as you start writing all these negative, nasty things, people are like, who are you talking about? And then they click on my page and they find me and they literally will use their own eyes and ears and come up with their own assessment. And I get a lot of love, man. I'm good. Like, people show me love that literally makes me want to cry. I have fan mail in my apartment right now that I'm like, I got to respond to these people that have written to me at WFAN. But I just don't write anything, and I don't know where the post office is. Gary's in Connecticut. Gary, you're next up on the fan. Gary, go in once, go in twice, and Gary, you're on hold. I didn't hang up, Gary. Eventually, when you wake up, it's 10:40-ish. It's not 11 o'clock yet. You'll still be on. Jerry's in East Rockaway. He gets to go next. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Gary's watch is my game keep. First of all, word about the negative nattering nabobs of negativism. They're pond scum. They're not worth wasting your airtime on. It's called professional jealousy, and you and I both know that.
Agreed.
I want to say something about one of my great personal heroes, Yogi Berra. We know he was a very proud man, a great World War II veteran on a rocket ship, meaning a boat firing at the Nazi guns on Omaha Beach as an 18-year-old from the hill in St. Louis. And after George fired him without even communicating that to him by himself, Yogi refused to speak to George for 13 years. And finally, one of the great legacies of Susan Waldman is that she broke the resolution. And George, like King Henry having to kneel in the snow at Canossa, had to go to the Yogi Berra Learning Center Museum in Montclair State College and meet with Yogi and apologize. And then Yogi got his Yogi Berra Day 13 years late at the stadium. Now, I only bring that up as prelude because Yogi began his speech by saying that his mother referred to Yankee Stadium as the Cathedral of Baseball. Mm-hmm. So when people want to wonder why you prowl the aisles, it's because, like many of us baseball fans, it's part of a kind of secular worship for the great American pastime. It may no longer be the national game, but it is the great American summer pastime.
Yeah.
And for those of us get that, it's intergenerational, and as you're going to wean your son on that, as he's running circles around you now in your apartment, everybody who gets baseball gets that point. So I just want to make a couple of quick points, if I may.
That was a great start. I agree 100%, and it never gets old. Pulling up to Yankee Stadium, walking around Yankee Stadium, it's like the first time every time.
Yeah. Well, when I was a young boy and I first got into Monterey Park, I couldn't figure out who this Colonel Jacob Rupert was or who Miller Huggins was. I knew about Babe and I knew about Lou. And I finally discovered that back in the days when teams only played day games, and by today, I think today was a camp game. The Yankees schedule some games during the summer as camp games to let the kids go from day camps. And it's usually against like second-rate teams and the tickets are cheap so they can get good block rates. So that would be my suspicion about today. And I couldn't watch today's game because I was working. So I got to watch like the two-minute highlight on my phone, bombs away, and it reminded me of the great line of Colonel Jacob Rupert from when the Yankees played only day games, 5 o'clock lightning, which is when he said when the Yankees were up by 5 runs in the seventh inning and then slowly pull away. So it warmed my heart to see Austin Wells hit that bomb, to see DJ get his first home run of the year, to see Volpe get his first home run since May 19th, and then to see Soto go back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, because it just reminds me that happy days are here again in this schizoid season. I also, when I was driving home from work today, I really enjoyed the banter between you and some of your callers about Bernie, and I just want to chip in a few things about him. Mm-hmm. Number one, he's such a regular guy, and as you said, he's so down to earth, and he's so pleasant, and has just no hang-ups. Friends of mine who live in northern Westchester used to see him driving around all the time on his motorcycle and filling his own tank. And they would bump into him in the Galleria Mall at White Plains. I mean, this is a guy who wasn't eschewing the public for shopping on Amazon. He liked to be around people. And I have to say that if your fandom has not seen recently the famous clip on Joe DiMaggio Day with Paul Simon playing Mrs. Robinson in the outfield, if that doesn't bring a tear to their eyes, nothing will. When they see Jim and Tori and the Fab Four and the Core Four and Bernie in the dugout with tears welling up in their eyes watching that scene and understanding what it is to be a Yankee and to have true pinstripe pride. So it just brings me back to your comments before about Gerrit Collins, the anchor of the pitching staff and the professor. When this guy was 11 years old, he held out the sign that he held out again when he was signed and put on the jersey with the Pinstripes for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yankee fan, yesterday, today, and forever. That's what you are, that's what your son is, and that's what most of your listeners are.
Thanks for the call, Jerry, and thanks for bringing that back up. I just queued up the Paul Simon performance from 1999, forgot about that. Yes, Yankee fan, today, tomorrow, forever. That's why I reference it when I talk about, you know, Ben Rice growing up a Yankee fan, Volpe growing up a Yankee fan. There's a bunch of these guys on the team. They want to win just as bad as we do. Jose Trevino, obviously, Cole, and yeah. Being in Yankee Stadium for me, like... It just has so many different levels to it for me now. I just feel blessed. And now that I can share that with my wife, and like my wife and I were laughing about our first Yankee games. And my wife actually took me to my first game. And she told me about her first game with her parents. And like my first game with my dad, I was a lot older. And then my first game taking my mom, I was a lot older. And I just am extremely blessed to be able to bring my son into a suite at 15 months where we can contain him and it's not too loud for him and there's food and like we, you know, we could just really, you know, bring him in that way. He starts at the top. Shout out to Andrew Levy and Ricky who does the bartending and the perfect suite. I appreciate you guys so much. Keith McPherson on the fan, call up. We've got another hour and some change to go.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
G-Mate, Gary and Waterbury, this one's for you. I told you I put the beat in the beat pack. When Gary comes on, he's like, I smash teeth, F your beat, no relief. I step on stage, the girls scream like I'm Keith. I mean, most of y'all that are hip-hop heads know that. Flavor in your ear, Craig Mack, you know. 888-808-1019. This is not Hot 97. I always say that. Like, this is not Hot 97. I just posted the freestyle from last week that I did when Nick was producing for me. Shout out to Cap for clipping that. I don't know. I'm moving, and I got this crazy 15-month-old baby, and I try my best to give my wife time because we have opposite schedules. She works full-time, and she comes home from the city, and I leave to go in the city, or... She comes home from the city and it's first pitch and I'm watching the game and like I try to be good about it, but I'm locked in. I'm taking notes. I'm watching the game. I'm like, I have a job where if you don't know one player or one out of what happened, people can be critical of you. So, you know, when the weekend comes, I try to, you know, give my family that time, but I'm all over the place. So I didn't even check my Slack until today. And I'm like, yo, this video was sent from last week. And shout out to WFAN digital team. If no one has told you, I noticed the growth. I know how many followers WFAN had on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube when I got here in 2021. In about a month, it'll make it 3 years since my audition I have seen. And shout out to you guys. Sometimes you don't get the recognition on air because this is a radio station and the radio is number one. But you guys do a lot of solid work and you promote what we do here, specifically bringing the visuals to life. And I like the quote cards that you guys are putting out. I always shout out Ryan Chichester for, you know, writing up little things that I say on Twitter. And then people are like, Keith who? Keith Hernandez? Yeah, Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez is talking about Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu and not trading Spencer Jones. All right, let's take one more call before we go to the next break. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you? You still in camp? Camp over?
No, yeah, we ended last week. Actually, I called you up the next day. We went to the Somerset Patriot game, and I don't know if you've been hearing all the buzz around the morning show. Brought up Pat Boyle throughout the first pitch, and it kind of made the rounds because he was one of the instructors at the week. Yeah,
PB radio and TV.
Yeah, so it was making the rounds online, actually through a Don and Capshaw too. Tim Capshaw was another moderator at the camp. They both were at the first pitch at the Somerset game. But, yeah, it was awesome, man. So
yeah,
it's a great
shout out to my guy,
year.
Ben. My guy, Ben, who does a little bit of interning for me, putting together one sheets. Ben, I have not looked at your notes for today. I'm going to pull it up just in case I need something in this last hour. He was out there. He's the one, I think, that got the picture or image for Pat Boyle. And, yeah, don't leave Boyle out of the, former athletes here. There's a lot of people that talk on this radio station that didn't even play varsity. Pat Boyle gets some credit for playing Division III baseball. I do see the athlete in him.
I hear you, man. But, no, all in all, it was a great week. But, yeah, we wrapped up with it. But, actually, at the Somerset game, real quick, we did, they let us do, pop-up notes and stuff. Then we go out to the game. This year we did Somerset. Last year we were actually over at Hinchcliffe. This year we did Somerset. We were doing, the pregame notes and everything for the Patriots, whoever else they were playing, and kind of looking at Spencer Jones, they weren't kidding. They're saying that guy has a strikeout problem. I mean, Jesus, you look at his numbers. Every other at bat, that guy goes down on strikes. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And I know we've got the 5-tool kind of build, but for a number two prospect, I don't obviously, and I know Dominguez, the Marsh, and everything. It's kind of two different stories. But I mean, for a number two prospect, that guy's
got to work on his eye. He's got to be more selective. Yeah. He's got to stop chasing. Yeah.
If I'm you guys, are specifically cashing, you look at a deal like, and I don't know if guys like Vladdy or Garrett Crochet, there's any legitimate truth to them getting moved. I don't know if Vladdy, they'd move him in division. I mean, I know up there in Rogers, that's his house when he walked it off against you guys a couple of years ago. But a caliber player like that, hell, even Tariq Skubal, I wouldn't be opposed to moving that guy if I were you guys. I mean, you look at his numbers. Dominguez, obviously, and you see Volpe too is obviously the big talk of the town when there was that huge shortstop market, free agency a couple of years ago. Guys like Seager, Correa, even Lindor before he got traded was going to be part of that class. So I don't know how they're going to handle the prospect system. Hell, even the Mets, too. You see today, I don't know how valid the report is that they're confirmed buyers, or I guess conservative buyers. I don't think they're going to go all in, but
Eight days.
I don't know how conservative they're going to be with their prospect pool either. Yeah.
8 days till we know. This is all speculation. I can say that I wouldn't move Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones. But guess who knows them a lot better than I know? The New York Yankees. So maybe they do. I don't think Skubal, Tarek Skubal, I don't think he's actually going to get moved unless somebody, like John Morosi said, gives them an offer that they can't refuse. And the Orioles have so much talent. I think that they're in the front of the line. If the Tigers are going to deal that kid, the Orioles can send them three top prospects with ease.
I think they build around him. I think you're right. They keep him. Same with Crochet. I think that's the one guy the White Sox wouldn't be willing to move because he's just nuts. But
The White Sox should go ahead and move.
Yeah, but he's got the age. I mean, Kopech, I think they kind of had expectations like that for it, too, once they turn him into a bullpen.
They should move him as well.
Crochet, kind of falling. Yeah, I mean,
once they sent Dylan Cease to the Padres in the beginning of the year, I'm like, this team, they suck. They're the worst team in baseball. The Yankees have actually been the second worst team to them in the last month.
Half a game. That's nuts. Well, you see, they were trying to get a Soto type return for the Louis Robert. I mean, listen, he's got the tools, but he's a. It seems like there's something off about it. I don't know what it is because it seemed like a couple of years ago. I know we're not in Chicago. Not to get deep at the White Sox talk, but it seemed like a couple of years ago, him and Eloy Jimenez were hand in hand, and now they kind of went different ways. So I don't know different ways. I don't know how they're going to handle the deadline. Real quick with Detroit though, everybody's talking about Skubal. You look at Jack Flaherty's numbers.
Yeah,
he's been staying with the strikeouts.
Go get Flash.
Last year, he went to Baltimore. It didn't work out, and that could have been maybe because he had spent his whole career with St. Louis up until that point. So now maybe that he's moved a little bit and he kind of found his footing. Refound his footing with Detroit. He's been insane at the strikeout numbers. I don't know if a team like the Yankees or anybody in search of a starter, maybe the Dodgers. I know you were talking early in the year, kind of hate watching the Dodgers throughout the year. I got them on the TV right now, and basically all those guys they went out and got. Specifically, Paxton got DFA'd today. Yamamoto's basically out for the year. It feels like their offseason kind of fell between their hands. So maybe they're in the market, but I don't know. There's some under the radar kind of names out there. And I know the Mets wouldn't really need him. I mean, hell, their rotation's potentially on the move. I think maybe that got debunked today, but looking at their bullpen, obviously Maton looked nasty tonight, and who knows, maybe they got something to work with after tonight. I think Diaz looked a little shaky with the control, but him hitting triple digits again, I mean, maybe there's something to build on, but I don't know, man. You got to go day by day. And like you said, you know, it's basically a week now. We'll see, how the cookie crumbles with both teams.
Yeah, coming up. I mean, we can speculate for 8 more days, but then we'll find out. I think I just called Jack Flaherty Flash. I think Jack Flaherty's nickname is Jay Flair. John Flaherty, our very own from the YES Network, is referred to as Flash. Maybe they're both Flash. I don't know. Let me look that up.